I'm CJ Liu, and you're listening to Fire It Up with CJ on the Transformation Talk Radio Network, live from the One Gathering here at the University of Washington. And today on Fire It Up with CJ, I have Ragini Michaels, an internationally recognized speaker in behavioral change. She also is a founder of the Whole Brain Wisdom School and the author of a book coming out this May entitled Unflappable: 6 Steps to Staying Peaceful and Happy No Matter What. So the focus of the next segment is really shifting from fear to love and looking at it from a spiritual perspective and covering some of the misconceptions that people have about making the shift. So in the previous segment, Ragini, we were talking about making the shift from a psychological perspective and an emotional perspective. What does it mean to make the shift from a spiritual perspective?
Well, I think you have to understand again what you mean by love. Mm-hmm. First of all, and I can just a short little story. When I was in the ashram with my spiritual master a long time ago in India, everybody in there, it was like all the love, you know, the love fest, as most ashrams are, mm-hmm. right? This was with Osho or Rajneesh, so it was all about love, right? Mm-hmm. And people used to talk about love, and they would talk about it all the time. And just as they talked about truth, they talked about love. And I actually kept walking around going, I don't get it. I don't get what this is. The only thing I really get is respect. I understand mm-hmm. respect. I got mm-hmm. that piece. But I don't really get this truth. What is the truth that you guys, you spiritual guys, are saying is the truth?
Yeah.
And then I get, well, it's the absolute. Well, what is that? Because if you have absolute, you got relatives. So I'm a little confused here about where to go.
You were one of those in the ashram.
I was one of those who walked around and said, okay, I got to believe I have a soul. Okay, they say I have a spirit. Totally. Who knows why I was there? God only knows, because yeah. I didn't know why I was there. But the point was that I was very confused about, not only as we talked earlier about truth, but also what was this love thing?
Mm-hmm.
What was it they were talking about? Because I actually had zero idea, because my personality experience with love was not so pleasant.
Mm-hmm.
I have a long history of not so happy relationships. Okay,
mm.
But you know, it was okay. I learned a lot. And I got to be like really, you know, express my dark side really good.
Right.
It did not make me happy, hence my book about how to be happy.
Right.
But nevertheless, I would always ask, what do you mean by love? What do you mean by it?
Yeah.
I don't know what
do they mean?
Because if you mean like be happy, be sweet, be charming, I'm screwed. There's no way I can be able to do that all the time. No way. I'm like, I mean, forget it. I might as well just get my ticket to hell right now, because I am not going to be able to ever be that way. I was convinced of that.
And I would have been right there with you, Ragini. I'm serious. I would have been like, I'm out.
Fortunately,
give me the cigarettes. I don't even smoke, and I'd be smoking cigarettes after that scenario.
Well, the curious thing was the guru that I was with would say, you know, you might as well go to hell because that's where all the interesting people are. It made me feel better, although the goal was actually to have a happy life, right?
Yeah.
So I really was confused about that because by the definition of love that I understood people to be talking about, I knew I was never going to be able to get that.
Sweet, so, charming.
Sweet, compassionate, loving, caring. You know, I mean, I'm not the nicest person in the world. I'm fairly narcissistic. You know, my personality structure. Now,
yeah.
I have learned that that's not me.
Right.
But it is mine.
Right.
But when I thought it was me, there was no way I was
right.
ever going to be loving.
Yeah.
One day, a friend of mine who was sort of my mentor there, one of the people in the ashram, I was crying, and I went up to him, and I said, I just don't get it. I'm so tired of people talking about love and wearing these shirts that say, you know, life of sannyas is a love affair. What does that mean? I'm just like, I'm so out of it. And he said, Ragini, come here. And he took my hand, and we went and we sat in one of the gardens.
Mm.
And we just sat there on the bench, and he held my hand until I stopped crying. And we sat there, and we watched the little circles come on the pond top from the little dragonflies, you know, and we listened to the birds and watched the bamboo. And he leaned over to me and he said, Ragini, this is love.
Aww.
And I went, and it changed my life. Honestly, it did. Because it wasn't conceptual.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the thing that I think we confuse about moving from fear to love, is we're operating on a concept, right? And it's got all these ideas in it, you know, and mostly because we haven't gone through the door of duality yet, or polarities, we think like half of those ideas are good and half are bad, right? I'm supposed to be good and not bad. I'm supposed to be loving and never hate.
Mm-hmm.
I'm supposed to be free of judgment and never say somebody, you know, sucks because they hurt my feelings.
Right.
Okay, I'm never supposed to do that. And when you start to understand that, if you really get in your mind that love is not a concept, not spiritual love, it's not a concept, Neither is human love, for that matter. But most of the time, we're really stuck in the conceptual aspect of what it means. And the reason I say the door is opposites is because when you balance out opposites in your mind stops, and you're catapulted into the actual experience of what it means to be in the realm of spiritual love, which is still and beautiful and wonderful. It's neither feminine nor masculine. It's bigger than all of it. And that's available to every human being when you have the wonderful gift of being able to get outside your mind just a little bit, outside of concepts. So I think that's a major thing, is not only do you need to know what truth is, you need to understand what love is in your own perspective and what it is you're actually going for.
Right. Well, what's interesting about when you're describing the beautiful story of the bamboo and you know, the water. It's just beautiful. And on a certain level, I could feel when you said that's love, I'm like, yes, I could feel what that was. And then the little mind part of me, or the big mind part of me, whatever you want to say, came up and said, I still don't get it.
Well, listen, that I understand that. Because after that experience, it took me another 15 years to get this process down where I could actually take what I learned there and actually make it practical.
Yeah.
So what does that mean practically, you know? I mean, so what am I supposed to do, walk around and just not think anymore? You know, that's not going to make me very productive in the world.
Right, right.
So part of my work has been, how do you take that and actually make it a ground for people to actually, you know, live from?
Right.
Really, you just need the experience. You don't need to be in it all the time.
And I know you just said not to conceptualize it, but alas.
But you have to.
Yeah.
What to do.
Yeah.
It's a paradox.
Yeah, so help my brain conceptualize that moment when you, I know it's hard, right, because you probably had your own personal experience when you saw the, you know, the concentric circles or whatever, or the beauty of, you know, I would be sitting at that pond going, I still don't get it. I'm screwed. Now Ragini has it and I don't. Where's that train to hell where all those interesting people are going?
Let it go on that one.
Exactly. I think I've already got a ticket. All right.
Well, here's the thing, though. This is really, I mean, it's a great question.
Yeah.
Because I used to sit and ask myself, how come I can have all these experiences in this ashram, you know, with this kind of love, and still walk out of here and be so miserable? What is it that's going on in my brain that keeps kicking these experiences out as somehow not relevant to my life?
Yeah.
When they're actually the total actual experience of presence and being, you know, so, but I kept going, well, that's not relevant to daily life. It's not relevant to making a living. It's not relevant to having a good relationship. What am I going to do? Sit and look in my partner's eyes 24/7?
Right.
You know, well, who's going to take out the garbage? What am I going to do when he keeps leaving the cap off the toothpaste, which I eight.
Right.
Okay. You know, what am I going to do? I'm just going to smile and then I'm going to get resentful and it doesn't work.
Right.
Right. So part of that is understanding that your mind can never understand it. Mm-hmm. This was one of the most freeing things that I ever found, was really getting that I couldn't understand it, which is why I landed up in the realm of mysticism, the mystic. Mm-hmm. I mean, if I were to say I'm anything, I'd say I'm a mystic, because the mystery of it all is the only place to be comfortable living with for someone like me whose mind wants to know, because it can't. But you, the you that's not your mind, can know it directly. Mm-hmm. But your mind can never know it. But you can, but your mind can't.
Yeah.
But you can, but your mind can't. And
no, and
that's
I felt
a big
that.
Distinction.
I could feel that. I mean, I could feel my husband's love. I could feel it. I could feel the presence of his love. And, you know, it wasn't the exact, you know, it wasn't an image. I could just feel it in my heart, and I definitely felt it. So I understand that experiential sense of it, and it's really hard to explain what that is.
It is. And what it requires to take it into your daily life and live from love, the kind we're talking about, is faith.
Yeah.
Faith that it's a ground underneath you that's there, and if you practice enough, you can go into it at any moment in your life that you wish to.
Mm-hmm.
You can learn to step out of your mind, step back in your mind, step out of your mind, step back in your mind.
Mm-hmm.
And so you get this new neural pathway laid down in your brain, which is what a lot of enlightened and mystical people can do, is they just move back and forth really fast, right? And so you know you're not your mind, but you have to use your mind to be here.
Okay, I'm getting confused, though. How do we get here? We got here. Where are we?
Okay. About love.
No, I know. No, I know we're talking about love, but I'm just, here's what I'm doing, because my mind, my conceptual mind is ruling. And, it
that,
needs to know.
That usually happens in these
conceptual minds. Conceptual minds need to know.
That's what I should call my wisdom school. Conceptual minds need to know.
I know. I can't
That's
help
great.
It.
Go ahead.
Why can't I just get the null set for my brain? I wish it would happen.
The way to get the null set for your brain is what I've been working on for 25 years, and which is what's in that book.
Yeah.
The six steps for how to get there. Because when, and it really is a back to opposites again, when you can balance opposites, which is really duality, then you see that they're really oneness.
Mm-hmm.
In disguise.
Mm.
It's oneness just dressed up as two.
Can you say that again?
It's
duality is, this is what I do when I talk to her. Say it again. Say it again. Will you say it again?
And then you write it down, I see.
Duality is the what?
It's oneness disguised as two.
Oneness disguised.
Because this is the plane of duality. So people are looking for unity consciousness. It is right here. If you look at duality, don't try to transcend it.
Mm-hmm.
Try to embrace it, and you will see when you embrace it that there's a unity there. There's a harmony. There's
mm-hmm.
There's a creativity that's there by design, right? That makes the world go round. Once you get how that works, you can actually step into love a lot more, because what it does is it stops your mind. If I go love and hate are equal in my mind, if I can get that, you know, they're of equal value. Neither one is totally accurate. Totally complete, right?
Mm-hmm.
My mind doesn't know which way to go, so it stops.
Right.
And guess where I am? Sitting by the pond, watching the little circles on the water, and listening to the birds. Okay, wherever that is, whether it's in my living room, or it's on a train, or whether it's sitting in the middle of traffic on I-5, it doesn't really matter, you know, because that's always there.
Okay, so let's take the sitting on a traffic at I-5, which people may be doing now.
That's true.
Right?
Yes.
Okay, so people are listening on I-5. They're like, I'm not going to get home on time. They're in a place of fear. Oh, my God. No. Why is that guy cutting in front of him? He's a jerk. Why is that guy, okay, so this is, so take me through that practical example on getting from that point to this, see the oneness as disguised as two. I'm just trying to take the practical example of me.
Well, I'm sitting there on the freeway and I'm in a hurry.
Yep.
Why am I in a hurry? Because I'm afraid that if I don't get somewhere, something's going to happen that I don't want to have happen.
Right.
Right? So I'm speeding.
Right.
Okay, so I'm going fast. What's the opposite of fast?
Slow.
Okay. What's the opposite of getting what you want?
Not getting what you want. Not
getting what you want. Okay. So if you sit back and you say, you know, does it really matter? Right? I mean, which one of these happens? If I understand that sometimes I'm going to go fast and
mm-hmm.
sometimes I'm going to go slow and I have a choice right now, and it doesn't matter which one I take because the traffic isn't going to move any faster, whichever one I choose.
Right.
Right? It isn't going to go faster. It isn't going to go slower. It's not about the external world. It's about my internal world.
Mm-hmm.
So if I want to get fast and get home again, I'm really polarizing. I'm really grabbing on to speed is importance. You can't slow down.
Okay, so I say to myself, I'm actually gravitating towards speed and getting home quickly and getting this done. And if I were to see the oneness in this, I could also say, I'm also going to try to equally embrace slowness and not getting what I want.
Well, here's the
reason. Is that what you do?
Yes, because here's the thing. Fast is defined by the absence of slow.
Right.
Slow is defined by the absence of fast. The minute you say one is better than the other, you're caught up in the game.
Okay.
You're caught up in it. The minute you can say...
What game?
The game of life without awareness. You still have to play the game of life, but you do want to play it with awareness. If you're on this journey and you're listening to this broadcast, you're obviously on this journey.
Okay.
Okay? So if fast is defined by the absence of slow, and slow is defined by the absence of fast, it means that they're interrelated.
Right.
They are like a deep... They're married longer than you and your husband.
Right.
They're not separating ever.
Right.
Okay. So if you understand that, then you can see that there's a balancing going on. And if you say while you're sitting in your car, fast is important and I'm not going to go for slow. This is
right.
not acceptable to me that this traffic isn't moving. I am so irritated
right.
with it, which I do frequently. And then I go, slow is happening.
She actually did this in the car when we drove over here. She's just not making this up.
I'm not. I have to work with this one. I do get irritated.
You were getting irritated.
I want to get where I'm going, right?
Right.
So I'm polarizing at that moment and saying, I want fast because it's better.
Right.
Slow, I don't want. I want to move away from slow. I have now, I'm not balanced anymore because life is both. And actually what's happening externally is slow.
Ah, okay, I get it.
If I want to be at peace and just lean back, take a breath, listen to the sounds.
Right.
You know, there's horns, there's, you know, the radio, there's some dog barking behind me, some baby crying because the person's got their windows open. And just be there. And
right.
Then it's a whole different thing.
Right. It's the equivalent of sitting near the pond. So here's what I'm getting. When you're driving, for those of you out there driving and getting really irritated because you are preferring to be in a fast place because you're judging that that is better, you can say, slowness is arising. You take the opposite of that. What's the opposite of fast? Slowness. So you say, slowness is arising. Both fast and slow is part of the universe. I'm saying fast and slow are part of the universe. I'm totally present to what's happening in the universe right now, which is slowness.
Irritably, I say that.
But I'm accepting that both fast and slow are part of the universe. And like the stillness that you saw at the pond where you're just looking at those items and just being present to what was. Right? You weren't judging. Beautiful pond, ugly flowers, you know what I mean?
Well, I wasn't, but then I started to.
Yeah.
Because that's what the mind does.
Yeah.
So you can, over time, you develop the ability to let you just watch that.
Yeah, you watch what is.
It. That's being human.
Yeah, isn't this fascinating? What is right now is I'm experiencing both slowness and fastness as I'm sitting here in I-5. And you know what? Now that I'm just so present to what is, I didn't even notice that, you know? This wonderful woman is talking on the radio. So listen, people. Right, but that's what you're saying. That's about how you take a practical example, finding out what it is that you are really wanting, grabbing to happen.
And grasping.
Yeah, and say, okay, what is the opposite of this? And the way that I get to a spiritual shift of making my move from fear to love is to say, okay, both of these things are arising. And they're present, and this is part of the universe, and I accept it, and I will embrace it, and I will be present to it. I will remember that wonderful woman, Rogany, who said to me, this is like a pond with bamboo surrounding it.
I think the more that you actually allow yourself to see how many polar opposites or sets of polar pairs in just surround you, we actually swim in a sea of polarities.
Mm-hmm.
And we aren't conscious of it because most of the time what we're trying to do is get the one we think is right and get rid of the one we think is wrong.
Right.
So I want to be loving. I don't want to be hateful. I want to be blissful. I don't want to be miserable. I want to feel joy and I don't want to feel sorrow.
Right.
I mean, and this, I'm not saying that you consciously are doing that, but unconsciously, this is the way that, I mean, my background is in physiological psychology.
Mm-hmm.
Your brain is wired out of physical survival to move you towards what's pleasurable to survive and away what's harmful because you might die. The species might die out.
Right.
This, unfortunately, still applies to your emotional and psychological levels and your quest for spiritual awakening. So to become more conscious of it and realize what you want to do is become aware of duality, become aware of it in the way of looking at it as polar opposites.
Right.
And then your job, it gets more clear, your job is to become big enough to expand your consciousness to be able to embrace both of those things as equally valuable, equally valid. They both have strengths. They both have weaknesses. And there's a balance going on there. And if you look really close, you can see they're actually unified.
Right.
They're actually, it's oneness in action on this plane.
Yeah.
If you look close enough and you stay with it, you get to see it. And that's what those six steps that are in the book that I had to write because I had to share this with people.
Right.
Because it actually ultimately brought me more happiness.
Six steps to getting to this place.
Yeah.
So, you know, the interesting thing, because this is all about 9/11, and so, you know, people, like we said, have so many opinions that are so strong, of which they believe they're completely right. And as we started off the segment, they're completely right and they're completely wrong. I mean, you have to accept that they are completely right and they're also completely wrong and that they're valid and they're incomplete.
They're valid and incomplete. I wouldn't say they're wrong. But there's not just one right.
Right.
Let's put it that way.
Yeah.
And that's really hard to get your
head around. I like that. There's not just one right.
Yeah. It isn't, you don't have to say, you know, you're wrong. You know, you're not right, so you're wrong. It's that there's lots of rights.
Right.
Because that's the diversity of the one whole that we're all wanting to really get, that we're a part of and feel we're a part of, and act from the place where we know that we're a part of that.
Yeah, so I'm bringing back to this event. So let's say that, you know, you were at this event, the 9/11 event, and on Sunday, which happens at the Seattle Center near the fountain, you're at that event, you run into someone who is, you know, has some type of billboard that you just, mm-hmm. it just gets you. Mm-hmm. Okay, you look at it and say, wow, there is diversity happening. There is, you know, this is oneness disguised as two.
Yes, and if that person comes at me with their billboard, I will defend myself.
Wait. Right?
I will take my purse and bat them on the head, because that's the other side of being love and human. Love and action is also to take care of your form.
Right.
This is also the unity and whole.
So I'm
just saying, you don't want to polarize and say, okay, now I'm just going to let everything be what it is. No, you have a position that's part of your specialness, your uniqueness,
right.
and you're going to live that position. But if you live it with conscious awareness, that it's a position and it's not a truth, and it's your job to live that position and to live it with totality and truth and all your intensity, and at the same time you know it's not true, it's really a loving place to be, because you're not going to hit somebody over the head with your purse unless they hit you first.
Yeah.
And you may not even decide to hit them then. I mean, that's just the action arises.
Yeah.
And I mean, is that clear?
Yeah, no, I think this echoes back to our big, gigantic salad lunch.
That was a big salad.
It was a gigantic salad. It was delicious, but it was gigantic. Where you said that, you know, I think that what happens when you go to this place of making a shift from fear to love is that there is this compulsion to say, I have to be good, I have to be nice, I have to be sweet, I have to be compassionate, I have to be loving 100% of the time. And that's not possible, right?
Well, it's not possible for the other thing, in addition to duality, that we need to wake up to and make a daily part of our diet, and that is the fact of impermanence or change.
Okay.
You can be nothing 100% of the time with no change.
Right.
Every single thing that you mention has an opposite to balance it.
Right.
That's the nature of the game on this plane of reality. So that's the key. You have to just understand nothing can remain the same. Impermanence, change, is always going to happen when you can really, you know, go with the flow. See, the key is you got to know what the flow is.
Right.
That's what I feel the last 25 years, with a lot of help from students and clients to help me with intriguing, interesting questions and objections, have produced a set of 6 steps which can help you get to that place. It's very helpful.
Yes. So Ragini Michaels here. She is the author of a book called Unflappable, 6 Steps to Staying Peaceful and Happy No Matter What. She's also founder of the Whole Brain Wisdom School. What does that, Ragini, describe?
It's the art and science of conscious living. It's how to look at it conceptually and how to get the concept into the muscles of your body and the neurons of your brain.
My children should go to that school. Forget about the private school they're going to. Just go to Ragini's school. Okay. Now, one of the things that we did over, let's talk a little bit about what we did during the course of the last couple months, which is to look at anger. We looked at guilt and shame. We looked at jealousy and envy. We looked at fear of the future, fear of the unknown, fear of success. And we also looked at perfectionism. Why did we look at those things?
Because those are the primary emotional obstacles to self-love,
yes.
to making this movement. Once you've got the duality, once you take a fresh look at truth and you start the process of forgiveness, if you want to then make it to the self-love, these are the obstacles that are generally in the way.
Yeah, and I think that the key thing when you are feeling angry or guilty or jealousy, the key thing is getting like the SOS, like emergency help, so that you don't yell or scream or, you know, beat yourself up, but that you move to a place of being peaceful and having a spiritual and psychological and emotional understanding of what those things are. And that's really the intention of the series that we did. Is I'm kind of a how-to maniac, and so...
You are.
I am a how-to maniac, so I'm like, well, how do I do that? So I'm angry, well, you're telling me to stop, well, how do I do that? Tell me 6 steps, quickly, you know?
That's what I used to say in the ashram all the time. If you tell me to drop my mind one more time without telling me how...
Exactly. People want
to
know how. Am I right? People want
to
know how.
That's right.
So I mean, these shows that are on www.firedupwithcj, they're on iTunes, they're on the Transformation Talk Radio Network, they're on my website at firedupwithcj. I swear, like, my husband was having a hard time. I'm like, listen to Ragini's show on perfectionism. Talk to me afterwards. Seriously, these shows are that good. Your advice and wisdom is that good that if you're feeling one of these negative emotions, go to the website, pull it up. That's your emergency thing. Don't throw the whatever you're going to throw across the room. Don't punch anything. Don't go eat your Häagen-Dazs pint.
Or while you're doing it, go and listen to the tape.
And then feel guilty about it.
No. Enjoy your ice cream. It's okay.
Oh, gosh. So thank you so much, Ragini. I appreciate your wisdom, your humor, and just great how-to advice, as always. Listen to my show, people. Fired Up with CJ, playing every Thursday on the Transformation Talk Radio Network at 1 p.m. Pacific Standard Time or 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.